Well, I was yesterday, what was it? It was in the 50s. I don't know what the high was yesterday. But as I went out to take a brief ride in the car, and my radio station that I had set came on, I heard them singing, "Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?" Right? In the lane, snow is glistening, right? A beautiful sight, a winter wonderland. And just look out there and you can see it, right? Obviously, right? The weather didn't quite fit the song, right? But as I was listening to the song, and the one phrase, right? Gone away, if you know the song, is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. I've heard that so often. Gone away, the bluebird, here to stay is the new bird. What in the world is it talking about, right? What is the new bird? Is there a bird that's literally called a new bird? You go online and you Google it and you start getting all sorts of answers. Who knows whether they're authoritative or not, right? Because people have posted that. You start typing in, what is the new bird that comes out in Winter Wonderland? Like somebody's already asked that question numerous times. And it was about this guy, Charlie Newbird or whatever, who was a jazz singer, and he would, at the time, and somebody else puts, no, actually, he didn't become popular until 10 years after the song was written, and of course, talking about birds migrating and this and that. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to put a whole new spin on it and for myself, right? That, in other words, if you're talking to me about someone who has come to sing a new song in my life, and that new song, as they say, is here to stay, and that new song that they're singing to me is singing a love song, well, no one has done that greater than Almighty God, right? There's no one. My wife has been fantastic, and since birth, my parents, but no one has come into my life with a new song that is here to stay forever, like the love song that God sings to me. And so this morning, as we reflect on it, I want you to see it, and I hope it captures your heart in a fresh way. You may be swimming in the love of God. Fantastic. May you just, maybe even just find yourself being able to dive a little bit deeper as we reflect on this reality, right? That the loudest verse of that love song is what Nate sang about, "Remember Me." That I came as part of the divine love song that has been in existence through the centuries. It really has. That God is singing to us, I want to be the focus of your life on December the 25th and the 26th and the 29th, right? He sings a love song as we go along every day of our lives. And so let's see some of that song, right? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I will say to you, capture the moment of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the reason I say that so often is because you need to be convinced that you were there, because you were. When you're reading Genesis 2, 7, you are reading about yourself. Biblically, that's proven, and scientifically, that's proven. The science community, when they discovered DNA and were able to break down a human DNA, what did they discover? An absolute affirmation of what the biblical community had already been embracing, which is what? You were there in Adam. At this moment, when we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The song of God's love for us began right there in the Garden of Eden. You were there. Scripture says spiritually, as in Adam, all died. Why? Because you were there. Because the entire seed of the human race was there in Adam. And as I said, science today tells us that. It's scientifically proven. We all come from one human being, right? You were there. Well, what was happening there? God was singing a song to you through Adam. Through the holidays, it's been great having family and gathering all around. And, you know, something about the grandkids, when I get handed them, I sing more than I would, you know, if I saw you, Brian, and I'll go, Brian is a friend of mine, right? You know, but I make up songs for them, right? And they hand me little Grayson, and for Grayson, I'll say to him, Grayson, you're such a good little boy, right? And he's, you know, for Molly, and they hand me little Molly. Her name was Molly, sweetest little girl in town. We're all going to learn that eventually. Now, you know what? I like to sing songs to them. Partly because I know that amazing little brain is starting at least to say, I've heard that tune before, and it seems like it was that face that sang it to me. But you know, when they're 16 years old, if I come up to Grayson and say, Grayson, you remember that Christmas I sang that song? No. I was 6 months old. If I say to Molly, remember that morning I was singing to you? No, I was 3 months old. Right? Adam is not 3 months old. He's not 6 months old. Adam was created as a mature, understanding human being. My point is this. Adam remembers the moment he first heard the song. Think about that. Adam's the only human being who could say to his kids, I remember the first day of my life. I remember it like it was yesterday. I can tell you everything about the first breaths I was taking. Because what do we read? That God did what? He formed Adam from the dust of the ground, and he breathed life into him, and he places and he begins to speak to Adam right away. My point is, Adam understands. He opens his eyes, and he starts hearing this song from God, this love song of what? Adam, I want to be with you. Do you hear God singing that to you? Adam, I want to be with you. Why is he hearing that song? Because there would be no other reason for his existence. The moment he first, his eyes open, and he's looking at his Creator, and he's hearing the song, right? Yes, hearing the song. If you came to my house this morning at about 9 a.m., you would have seen me sitting there at our breakfast bar with my Bible there and my notes, and you would have seen in front of me a toasted cinnamon raisin English muffin, buttered, as is the proper way to butter it, to the edge in every direction, right? Butter in every way. Now, if you came in and you said, I'm going to make a declaration. I'm going to declare that PV likes to be with buttered, toasted English cinnamon raisin English muffin. That would be a fair declaration. Why? Because you know it's not that the English muffin liked to be with me. You know, it, you would make it, you would see it and say, the English muffin did not jump out of the bag. It did not split itself. It did not hop into the toaster. It did not turn the toaster on. It did not butter itself with that much butter. No muffin would want that much butter on it, right? It would, it, you, so you would you make it, that, that's what Adam says. I'm here. I didn't put myself here. But I have no recollection of ever existing before. I had no will, no intentions. I woke up and immediately I understood I'm here because you want to be with me. I mean, what a thought. Adam, when he starts hearing and he starts seeing and he starts feeling, it's a song. Can you imagine the assurance, the comfort, the security? God wants to be with me. That's the only reason I could possibly be here. And it's the truth. And God sings it. I want you to live in my garden. I want you to live in fellowship with me, right? And Adam and Eve hear the song of God in creation in the Garden of Eden. But what do? They start listening to another song. They start hearing Satan's disco music, or whatever music you think Satan plays. No, I'm not kidding. If you like disco, that's all right. But they hear Satan singing a whole different song. And they listen to it. And they stop listening to God's song. And they sin. They know what God told them in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. Right? When God said to them, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. They know that. And they know something has changed immediately. Once they sin, they sense the guilt, the conviction, the change in everything. And so we read in verse 7 of chapter 3 that the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. They're afraid. Why? Because they don't want to die. But think about it in verse 9. They're hiding, and they hear God singing to them. Where are you? I want to be with you. And their assumption is, he must not know what we have done, because he's still singing the song of being with us. And so they hide. But they hide because they have no idea how powerful the song really is. They have no idea that this is a God that is still going to sing a song to sinful people. I want to be with you. And he does, and they see a bit of that as God brings his judgment on them. Spiritual death, but not immediately physical death. You see in verse 19, he says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. God tells them that death will come. But what happens? We read in verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Right? God clothes them. He's still singing to the individuals who stopped listening to his song and sinned against him. He's still singing, I want to clothe you. And how does he do it? He does it through the sacrifice of animals. And we know clearly, looking at that, how God is pointing them to what will be the sacrificial system to cover their sin. And ultimately, that entire system will do what? It will point to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sin of the world. that begins there. He sings a love song as they go along. And he keeps singing it. And as God is dealing with the human race, and as God begins to work through Abraham and to bring a chosen line through him, and ultimately we have what? His people that are brought out of Egypt by God's hand. And in Exodus chapter 25, we hear another verse in the psalm. Because in Exodus chapter 25, what does God say? In Exodus 25 and verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution." And they start collecting all these items for what purpose? Verse 8, "And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." They've been wandering out in the wilderness. Why? Because even though God is singing his song of love for them, "I see you in bondage, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to take you into the promised land," they still don't believe the song. And there are people who I've sat with and I've said, Do you believe that God personally right now is pursuing you? He wants to be with you. Well, not like you want to be with other people. That sense of deflection. But he keeps singing to them, even though they are wandering in the wilderness because of a lack of faith. He sings what? "Build a place for me to be with you." I heard they're building a stadium. I don't think it's already occurred. I think it's still ahead. I could be wrong. Where they're going to play a baseball game on the field where the Field of Dreams was filmed. And they're going to have some kind of big game there, and they're building new stands and all to fit so many people. If you remember that movie years back, right, The Field of Dreams, and Kevin Costner's out in his farm with his corn, and if you build it, he will come. You know, ease his pain. All throughout the movie, it's, what are we trying to figure out this, and other people get on board. Once it's all mysterious. If Field of Dreams was about God, it would have been a very brief movie because there's no mystery to it. He says, "Build it because I want to be with you." That's why. I want to be there with you. There's no doubt who it is. There's no doubt about the purpose. God says, even though you're wandering in the wilderness because of your sin and lack of faith, I am still singing to you that I want to be with you. I don't know where you are right now in your life. Only you know in your heart whether I'm here today, but boy, I have wandered. I'm here, but I'm kind of here feeling like I'm in church, and I almost hope God isn't looking at me. Right? Guess what? If you're wandering from him, he's singing to you, "I want to be with you." That's what he's doing here. He pursues them with another verse of the psalm. And we get eventually to Exodus chapter 40, and we see the beauty of it. For in Exodus chapter 40, we read in verse 34, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle my day throughout all their journeys. He sings a love song as we go along. Right? He's singing to them as they journey. I want to be with you. His song doesn't stop. We see it further along in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, he adds another verse. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, they are, you know, God has brought them into the promised land. King David is ruling over a victorious kingdom. And in chapter 22, verse 10, what does God say to David, your son? He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. God gives a whole list of instructions for Solomon to build the temple for a clear purpose, so that God can keep on singing his song. Oh yeah, scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they sing it out, you know. But God says, I want to be with you. And it's all for one purpose. If you look back in 1 Kings, it's kind of a 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles often, you know, parallel each other. But in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 6, we read, then the priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the house, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. And all that's, you know, right? And verse 10, and it came about when the priest came from the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Glory of the Lord fills the place. God is pleased because he wants to be with them. He's singing. He's singing. He's singing. God sings his love song in creation to Adam. But listen, to you, God sings his love song in the wilderness through the tabernacle. He sings his love song in Jerusalem through the temple. And ultimately, that love song, I said perfected, it was always perfect, but it came to its most beautiful pitch when God did what? He sang his love song through a pair of human lungs. Human lungs. Right? Remember me. John tells us what? In John chapter 1, that beautiful verse of scripture that we quoted Christmas Eve as we're lighting the candles. But in John chapter 1, we read there in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Whew. The volume gets turned up, right? John says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Christmas is what? It's that loudest verse in the psalm. God says, I want to be with you. And so I'm coming in flesh. He dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. Flesh and bones. I was watching one of the Star Wars movies, Solo. And in there, you know, I like the Star Wars movies, but in there is, to me, a bizarre scene where one of the robots that looks part trash can, part vacuum cleaner, you know, L3 or something, whatever. And the robot, the human, you know, they're hinting as if he's developed romantic feelings toward the robot. And a droid robot. And then when it's blown up, he's like picking it up, oh, hugging it. I'm thinking, if I ever come upon a car accident, and a guy's got the bumper in his head, oh, you know, I know some of you have a love car, but I'm sorry, I don't understand that, right? But you let me embrace a human being. And that's how he came. God came in flesh so that human beings would hear a human voice box saying, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. I've come that you might abide in me. I've come that I might be the living water. In Mark chapter 3, when Jesus calls his disciples, we read that they might be with him. He walked with them. He ate with them. He went fishing with them. He went to a wedding with them. He celebrated the feast with them. He healed them. He taught them. He forgave them. He cared for them. And he says this, remember, I am with you always. See, it's the same song. I'm the God who wants to be with you. It's personal. It's a love song. I'm the God who wants to be with you. Do you believe it? Do you deflect it? I remember in the fall of 1982, when I first noticed Greta, and I began to sing a song. Nobody else was hearing it yet. But it was a song of, I want to be with you, right? I want to be, and so I acted upon that song. And I began to sing it in subtle ways, right? I kind of sang it a little bit when I went up to somebody and said, hey, what's her name? They told me. Kind of sang a little bit when I went to my buddy in the registrar's office and said, show me her class schedule. I sang a little bit when I pretended I was at the water fountain waiting for her to come out of class. Oh, hi, you're Greta, right? Until eventually, I was ready to sing it louder. And my buddy and I were talking. He says, listen, let's go out on a double date. His girlfriend, they're now married, and I said, all right, I'm going to go ask Greta. And I went over to her dorm room window and tapped. I'm here to sing a love song to you, right? I didn't say that. And as I knock on the window, I go, hi, hey, you know, how you doing? And she says, oh, great, we're making some Swedish meatballs. You want some? And she hands me a little Swedish meatball out the window. And I'm kind of like, her friend's standing next to her. How do I... I'm not allowed to go into the dorm, right at the window. And eventually, my buddy comes up and says, hey, you guys ready? And I said to her, look, did you want to go to Friendly's? And sure. And she went with us. And in her mind, I was put on the spot, right? Then I just didn't, you know, my friend said that. I didn't know what to say. And so I asked her to go. And later I found out she was like, I didn't even know that was like our first date, right? And I didn't realize. Right? In other words, I was singing the love song, but for her, I'm not seeing it. I'm not hearing it. Listen, I say this genuinely. Too many believers who have professed faith in Christ are not hearing the love song. He wants to be with you. And that's why John says to us, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us. Look at it. See it. Understand. It's not just for us. It's for you. It's for you. It's personal. The Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians, I pray that somehow, right? Ephesians chapter 3, he prays for them in Ephesians 3 and verse 14. I bow my knees to the Father in heaven. I pray, what, that he might, you know, grant you strength. So what? Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Do you get that? Do you see that? Does that jump out at you personally? He sang the song in creation. He sang it through the tabernacle. He sang it through the temple. But he came to sing it in flesh, to make it so clear that this is a God who is really present singing to you. There's a couple that has written a book, and they wrote a book about their child. Their names are Gene and Greg Krebs, and their child's name was Chris. Chris had many physical and mental challenges, but they wrote a book about all the things that their son Chris taught them through life. And one of the things they shared was this moment when Greg writes, "My wife worked in a hospital at the time, and I had taken Chris with me to pick her up. She was late getting off, and so Chris and I waited for her in one of the family rooms. Another man, probably in his 60s, was waiting for an appointment. He was pretty scruffy, filthy looking, rather smelly. I went to the nurse's station to ask how much longer my wife would be, and when I returned, Chris was sitting by the man. The man was sobbing, and I wondered what Chris had done to offend him, so I began to apologize. I'm sorry if my son said something unkind that upset you or made you uncomfortable. He really doesn't mean to be inappropriate." The man replied, "Unkind? Your son is the only person who has hugged me in the last 20 years. He came to sing, 'I want to hug you.'" If you stop and think about that. If you're a child of God, someday you'll be there with him. His arms wrapped around you. But he sings to you now. He sings to you the words of John chapter 14. Why it is he came, right? When you're listening, if the song plays for another few days, he sings a love song as we go along. Think about John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." He's singing to you. The God of all creation is singing to you. Some of you, I did a funeral this past week for a woman who obviously loved Elvis Presley. She wasn't from our church. She loved Elvis Presley, and Elvis Presley remarks, Elvis Presley pictures, Elvis Presley. Can imagine Elvis singing to her. Whew. He sings a love song as we go along. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. Oh God, thank you. Father, I pray for every person in this room right now. Oh Lord, for your children who are living under fear, under guilt, under bondage, under works. Lord, let it fall away. Let them see the song that you've been singing through the centuries. I want to be with you. You sang it to the point that you sent your son Jesus to sing it with human vocal cords, to sing it out
in a strained pitch from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, it is finished. I've paid the price for their sin. Turn to Him in faith. Understand that your Father sings to you. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for never stopping the song, even when I've wandered. Thank you for singing to me, Vincent. I want to be with you. In the name of Jesus, we embrace that truth.